Because you got to go where God leads, don't you?
Amen.
Wherever God leads you, you say, Lord, where are you taking me? We're going to talk about that in a second, but it's amazing. He's bringing us back here. We're in about 6 to 12 weeks. We're going to be going to a brand new location. You see how crowded it is in here? Right? We need room to grow. Amen? So we're going to a new location in Springfield. There's a picture right up there of the Hilton. And God is so amazing. We didn't put that name there. God put it there. And we were driving by one day, and the Lord said, why don't you stop in here? And Pastor Vince said, hey, check that place out. And I said, there's no way we can get in there, Vince. And anyway, we had to go where God's leading. We went in there, and by miracles, that's where we're going to be in 6 to 10 weeks. So I want to thank the Lord. And you might be wondering, like, why in the world, how did it get to that big sign right on Route 22 in Springfield? Is they call the ballroom Oasis. And how amazing that they're allowing us, Oasis Church, to come in there to reach hurting and hungry people for Jesus. And if you don't know us, we are all about Jesus. That's all we're about is Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we believe that as we're going to get into the scriptures here, as Jonathan shared about Matthew 16, that God has a mission for us as a church. This is a vision casting message today. And we have another location at Rutgers University. That's Rutgers University. And God did something out of nothing. Our God is a miracle God. He's able to turn stones into praisers of him. And out of nothing, God started this church. It's a thriving church filled with all Rutgers students, people from all over the world that need to hear about Jesus, what Jesus can do. And it's so amazing to see what God's working here at Oasis Church. I want to thank you for being here. If you're a first-time guest, we have cards. There's cards right there. James is going to hand out some connection cards. You can put that in the offering when you come back. Or on the welcome table, just grab a card and put your name and address in there and write us a big check. I'm joking about the check. But we're excited. Hey, why don't we just take just 30 seconds, and I mean 30 seconds because we're running, and just greet someone you don't know. Take 30 seconds. Hey, buddy. All right, all right. Thanks, guys. We love fellowship in this place. And, you know, it all starts at the beginning with the Father God, our Father. He's all about relationship. From the beginning, God the Father sought relationship with his creation. It all started so wonderfully in the Garden of Eden. It was like beauty. It was Adam and Eve and the animals, and everything was going great until sin entered the world, and then there was separation between man and God, and all that sin and the shame and the pain, and man was separated from God. But our God, you see, there's this theme throughout the whole scripture that of God constantly calling out. There's that word again, calling out. His own people for relationship. His heart is only toward relationship. He loves you so much where you are as you are. But he wants to restore you. He wants to rebuild you. He wants to take you from this pain and the shame and the sin and all those skeletons that you have in your closet that I know and God knows, but, you know, no one else knows. Like, we all know what we're talking about. Sin, all that rottenness of sin. He wants to take us from this horrible existence and translate us over into his wonderful family. He wants us to be members of his dear family, to draw other people to him as well. And isn't it an amazing thing to be a Christian? It is an amazing thing that I remember, and I'm really excited today, because do you know that January 10th, 1978, I got down on my knees for the first time, and I said, Lord Jesus, I can't handle this life anymore. I'm a sinner. I was also suffering from an incurable disease called Crohn's disease. I said, Lord, I have nowhere to go. You brought me here, Lord. You led me here, Lord. I don't know why you led me here, but I just surrendered my life to you. It was on through a television show. And I'm so excited. This is going to be, I don't know, I'm bad at math, guys. 1978 is how many years? I'm only 37. Wait, that can't be. I'm only like 40. How is that possible? But seriously, we see throughout the whole screen of Scripture this beautiful story of God pursuing his people, pursuing. And that's, he called Abraham out of nothing. And then Jacob, and then, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, he called out his people. In the Old Testament, the word that Jonathan mentioned, ecclesia, means church. It means assembly. It means a family. And you see it all through the Old Testament scriptures that God had a family. But then things went a little screwy. Israel forsook God, and God turned his back on them because God is a holy God. You know, God is a loving God, but he's a holy God. But his heart still bleeds for sinners. It still bleeds for all of us. And that's why in Isaiah, there's a prophecy that says there's so much darkness in the world, but God's going to send forth his son, his dear only son, to restore all this mess, to reverse the curse of sin, and then to bring in a new order of things. And that's where we get to in Matthew 16. So that's and something amazing, something wonderful Jesus is about to share with his disciples. And today, this is a vision casting series for Oasis Church. But, you know, when we say ecclesia, it means called out, like Jonathan said, called out from nothing, called out from sin, from pain, from hopelessness, called out to be, hey, now you're in my family. Now you're part of me. Now you have something to live for. Now you have purpose in life. Now you don't have to be afraid anymore. Now when you die, you have eternal life. That's amazing. And so what's going on here is Jesus is setting the scene here. And I just love this scripture. And it's amazing. We're going to talk about three things that I actually love about ecclesia. When you hear the word ecclesia, generally in the New Testament, it means the local church. But ecclesia is also the church over all the world, universal. That's why, look at, don't you love the multiculturalism of our church? Amen. And Rock is amazing at Rutgers. Almost every country of the world, God is calling out, hey, I want you, Vince. I want you. I want even you and you and you. I don't care where you come from. I want you to be part of my family. And Jesus is going to teach these disciples an amazing thing. And here in Matthew chapter 16, we see that he came to this region called Caesarea Philippi. And I'm just setting the historical context. Our key verse today is going to be Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus says to Peter, and you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's the key text right there. But I want to set the historical perspective here. And what Jesus did, he said, guys, come with me. And you're gonna identify with this. So follow me along in the story, okay? He's there in Jerusalem, and Jesus says, guys, come with me to this place called Caesarea Philippi. Do you know that place is a 25-mile trek uphill to the northernmost part of Israel, bordering Syria? And many times, they were probably going, Lord, where in the world are you taking me? You ever feel like that in your life where God's leading you somewhere? And you go, Lord, no, I want to go that way, Lord. I don't want to go this way, but God somehow leads you this way. And it's kind of like even with our church, you know, we didn't plan to come all together here, but God led us this way, even though we were trying to go that way, because he wants to teach us something, right? And when it's something in your life, you feel like, it might be a certain life right now where you feel like you're being led somewhere, you're not knowing why. Well, Jesus is setting the stage for something else. Here we see Jesus setting the stage, he's going to teach them something. He's bringing them to a place called Caesarea Philippi, and this place is evil, all right? There's actually a place there. There's a cave there that the Romans and the Greeks, there were pagan gods worshipped there, the god of the underworld called Pan. He was worshipped there, and they even had like a golden calf. Jeroboam, one of the kings of Israel, he forsook God and put a golden calf right there. And there's still a cave there today called the Gates of Hades. So Jesus, see how Jesus is adding perspective now to what he's going to tell the disciples. And he's bringing them to this place, this forsaken place, that many, even in this Jewish writings, it was said that when Messiah comes, he would break down those gates. And they didn't even know what they were talking about, but Jesus is going to break down those gates. And it's actually there, right there, there's a what they thought was a bottomless pit. Josephus talked about it as a bottomless pit where a spring came up and the water fed into the Jordan River. So they're taking them to this God-forsaken place. And if you could picture the scene there, and the disciple, why in the world are you taking us there? And he says to them, and it's right there, though, that he decided, right there in that spot, he decided to reveal who he was. He asked the disciple, who do they say I am? And they said, such and such and such. And then Peter, impetuous Peter, Peter was a bad-tempered Peter. Peter gets up and says, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, Peter, this was not revealed by flesh and blood. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. And now this sets perspective of where we are in this verse that we really want to unpack, Matthew 16, verse 18. And I'm going to talk about three things that really strikes out to me about this verse. And I want you to know that it's the heart of Oasis Church to follow where Jesus leads. We believe in the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is the Bible, and we believe it's perfect in its original form. Amen. We believe that God, we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily, and he's coming back bodily. Amen. We believe when he comes back, the clouds will separate. He's going to come down, and the blind shall see, the lame shall walk. He's going to perfect everything and restore everything that's screwed up in this world today. But he has a mission for us. But he has a plan for us. And he uses certain people. I find it amazing, one of my first things here, I find it amazing that Jesus, he says here, he uses the unlikeliest people to do his will. This is what's amazing. Now, we're all sinners. Remember, from the fall, we all are desperately lost. And the world looks on some of us, though, as no good to the point of not being used. And when Jesus said in his word, he said, his mission statement, really, Jesus said this, he said in Luke, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. That word lost means beyond repair. Beyond repair. That's what the world thinks of most people. Some of you, you know, I used to be a probation officer. And people would say, that guy, don't even bother sharing the word of God with that guy, David. He's lost. He's unredeemable. Well, Jesus thinks otherwise. And he's in the business of taking people who you may think may never be used of God that are used of God in remarkable, amazing ways. And these disciples that Jesus chose, think about this. This is the one point, a pivotal point in history that Jesus Christ, he brings them up to this God-forsaken place to reveal to them his mission for the world in enemy territory. All right? This is in, remember that first. It's in enemy territory. It's in a territory where you just don't go. And he's choosing to reveal this to Peter. And he says, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And these disciples, who were these disciples? These disciples were simple Galileans. And most of you guys, if you know that, it's a Galilean today would be looked down upon, kind of like a know-nothing, blue-collar people who they just don't know much. They're deplorables in a sense back in the day, and they're people who you wouldn't be sure. Even when later on, when Jesus resurrected, and the Jewish leaders saw these guys preaching, they go, "Who are these guys? They're unlearned people. They're nobodies. They shouldn't be doing this." Guess what? God's doing it. God can use anybody. I'm standing right here before you. If you think for a minute, and I'm not perfect, I'm a big sinner, but do you think for a minute that I ever thought that I'd be up here? No way. Jesus, this is why I want to give you hope. I want to give you encouragement. I want to give you, you may think that you've been so far away from God that you can't come home. That's a lie. You may think you will never be used of God. That's a lie. God wants to do amazing, audacious, crazy things through you. And he uses the unlikeliest of people to shame the world. We see that in the scripture. He uses people that the world says you're nothing, you're scum, you're nobody, to shame them into seeing, bringing God glory. So he chooses these 12 disciples to spread his word all over the world and turn the whole world upside down. And it's through this thing called the church, through ecclesia, through being called out. And we see a couple of things here. So that's the first thing I want to see, is that God uses the unlikeliest of people, and it's by God in your life. And I want you to, instead of thinking in your terms, think in God's terms. Don't limit yourself because of what you're thinking. Trust, this is not positive thinking. This is the power of God himself. Ah, Lord God, what is too difficult for thee? Nothing, nothing at all. So God has a plan, and he wants these guys to use it, and he chooses that to build it. The second thing I see is this, is God wants to build his church. God wants to grow. That, you can look at this in a certain way. So that word build, it's a Greek word, and it's a future tense, but it means to build up, to restore. And you know, God is in the business of building on ruins. God is in the business, and someone told me this once, and it gave me encouragement. I remember I sinned really badly. I'm not going to get into it, but I talked to some people, and this one pastor encouraged me so much. He says, David, God only builds on ruins. He doesn't build on people who think they have it all together. Remember the Pharisee? He doesn't build it on people who think, oh, God, look at me. I'm in church today. Look, God, I'm so amazing. Hey, I'm even tithing a couple dollars. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, I do this and I do that and I do that. No, he's looking for someone not perfect. He's looking for someone who's willing. He's looking for someone who has nothing but that poor sinner, that sinner in the scripture, in the parable, saying, Lord, please have mercy on me. A no good, rotten sinner, I need you. And that person God can use. And that person God can build up. And God wants to build his church up that way spiritually. Wherever you are in your life right now, know that God wants to restore you. Know that God wants to use you. Know that you're never beyond repair with God. And now understand the whole context. He's sharing this in a place that is hopeless physically, a place that was known to be a place of despair, of hell, a place of no hope at all. And he's sharing this message. I will build my church. I see in the scripture here and in our church that the church is unstoppable. What I mean by that is God is building the church. He's going to grow the church. And check what he says. He says, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I love this word picture here. I love what he's saying here. He's actually saying he's going to build up his church and grow the body. You know, I don't know about you guys, but we're a church that we want to see people come to Christ. We want to see people grow. That's why we're a multi-site church. We're a multi-site church because of the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into the world and seek lost sinners, preach the good news to them, preach the gospel for them. Hey, along the way, even believe my word that I'm in the miracle business here. Believe my word that I can actually change lives. Believe my word that there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Yes. Believe my word that with me, you're everything. Without me, you're nothing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's the message that he is. And in that sense, the church is unstoppable. We see that here. And it's amazing to me that we see this picture here of the gates of hell. And when I was growing up as a young Christian, I thought of it as a defensive posture. I thought of it as, okay, we have these gates, and Satan is not going to get in here. And no, that's really not the scripture at all. That's not what the Greek says. That's not what the plain reading of it says. What the scripture is saying is we are a church on the offensive. We are not holding on to territory in this place. We are a church, ecclesia is a church where Jesus is saying, you have your marching orders. I want you to go out there and take over the world for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Not that we're holding on to territory. We're not holding on to anything. And that's why we don't care about buildings and things like that. We're a multi-site church. We go into areas where people wouldn't go to. For example, Jesus is using the word picture here of Hades. Going into a place like Rutgers University, this is, if you want to talk about the gates of Hades, it's a very liberal place, all right? It's a very liberal place. It's a place where there's a lot of sin. The philosophies are all pagan. It's all there. Many churches, and we even had a pastor from a very large church came here and preached in July and said they tried 20 years. They poured tens of thousands of dollars in it. You know how much money we had to pour into it? No, they brought people, they bust in people, and you know, and a lot of people say, how are you guys doing this? You know, we tried, it's not going to happen there. That's a forbidden place. That's a place like, if there is a hell, that's it. And with the power of God, though, God did a miracle. And he worked a thriving church in that area because his church is unstoppable. Because we're an offensive church. Because God wants to take us from here and bring us over here and continually spread his word to the hurting and hungry people all over. May we never be a church that wants to hide behind your little white fence and your little nice four walls. We're not that kind of church. If you're looking for a church today, we're a church that is on the offensive. We're a church that believes Jesus Christ has given us the power by his Holy Spirit to take his word, and we believe that people's lives can be changed from the inside out by the power of Jesus Christ. And I hope you believe that too. Because the reason we're leaving this place is because we're going to bust out of here in Jesus' name, and God's going to grow it. It's not about me. It's not about a person. It's about a movement. And the church movement is unstoppable. This is the kind of philosophy, this is what Jesus is talking about when he's here. He's right here. Now imagine now this crazy scene. He's right here in front of the gates of hell, literally those things that were called the gates of hell. And he's sharing this message. See how powerful that message could be. And he's saying, guys, with you, we're going to take this word, take this message all over the world and turn this whole place upside down. The church is unstoppable because I'm with you, and I'm going to give you the power to be part of this. I want to tell you, it's so exciting being a Christian. Amen. I'm going to tell you, people ask me, oh, being a Christian is so boring, David. You can't do this, you can't do that. I don't know what you're talking about there. Amen. But I'll tell you, the most exciting thing is surrendering to Jesus Christ and letting him work through you. Why work on your own power? It's a continual, you're hitting yourself your head against the wall. There's a continual barrier, boom, 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 because God created you for a relationship. He created you in such a way to have real purpose in life. Not like you get up in the morning, you go to work. Why am I even doing this? To make a paycheck. I understand that. Then you come home and you start thinking, like, what is this life all about? What am I even doing? No, God wants to fill you with a purpose, with an eternal purpose. He wants to fill you with this sense of, you're part of this big movement called the church that God wants. And next week we're going to define that more, so I hope you come back. How you could be part of this amazing thing, and you're in it. And that, to me, is amazing. Here's the third point. He says, and it's the same scripture, and this basically flows into the first point. The second point is that we are his instrument to bring change in the world. We are his instrument to bring change to a broken world. He created it this way. Without us, we're his hands and feet. Without that, the word won't get out, because Jesus created the church to be such that we are the conduit through which we share his love. And people look at us and they see, well, where's the love of God? And I have a lot of people come to me, even on campus and so forth. They say, David, I would love to believe in God. It's a beautiful idea. It's just the people that go to your church. Not our church, the church in general. Not our church. We're cool. Maybe one or two of us. who I don't even want to believe, because they weren't treated properly. It's because they weren't loved on. God, Jesus wants us to love on the loveless. He wants us to love on those people who are beyond hope. And when Jesus brought these disciples to that place, he's basically telling them, I want you to go anywhere. I want you to get dirty. I want you to go to places where you think, and I grew up in a church where if you didn't look a certain way and you had a certain level of hair, I used to have long hair. I wish I was still rocking my long hair. I wish I had hair. but the thing is, it was a place where people would judge you from on the outside instead of the inside. It was a place where the outsiders looked as exactly that, outsiders, rather than an opportunity to build a relationship, build a bridge. And there's so many hurting people in this world, guys. There's We meet him all the time in the streets of New Brunswick. I'd work with homeless people. I'd work with different people on the streets. And you just see their faces. You see the hopelessness of it. But, you know, people wear masks. It's not just homeless people. You could go right up here to Berkeley Heights and see upper middle class people that their hearts are just so torn apart with turmoil in their life because they're broken, because they're living in shame, because their kids are on heroin, but they're making maybe $1 million a year and your life's falling apart because they need Jesus Christ. They need this message. So as a church, guys, and what Jesus is saying, bringing the disciples here to a place like that, you say, I want you to go with me even to the gates of hell to bring one lost soul.
Amen. That's right.
That's the heart of God. The heart of God, guys, is to bring hurting and hungry people to him, no matter where they are, spiritually, emotionally. It doesn't matter where it is. And I want you to have the faith to believe me, even when I take you to a place, you go, where are we going, Lord? Where are we going? Even into the depths of the pit, to understand that he wants us to go there. So Oasis, as a church, and this is a vision series, we want to go wherever Jesus has us go. So we're coming back here to go there. We're going to go there, and our plans are to go. We're a multi-site church, so we want to keep growing church plants. We want to keep using people and building leaders. This is what our leadership team wants to do. It's not about me. We want to grow leaders, people who the world would say you're nobody. That's why we have our young people up growing churches. We have them in front of people. I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can, with Jesus' name. Oh, no, they won't take me. Oh, yes, they will, in Jesus' name. So we have that mentality, and we want you guys to come along for the ride with us. Are you along for the ride with us?
Yeah.
And it's only a matter of time when we come into this amazing place. By the way, if you're new, we're not into fancy schmancy. We're down to earth. We didn't even want to come to this brand new hotel, $38 million renovated hotel. I mean, or give it to us for a nice place. We didn't want to come there. We're used to going wherever. We meet in this old auditorium in Rutgers University, right, guys? You have to go up the steps to get there. You're wondering, like, where in the world is this place? There's paintings, it's like graffiti on the walls and stuff. And it's kind of funny. We're going from this thing, and then we're over to this thing. And it's like, whoa, it's too much change all at once. But we're going where God leads us. And this new year, I'm going to call the band up. This new year, God wants to lead you in places you thought you'd never go. He wants to bring you into a mission in a thing you thought you could never do. He wants to have you part of this amazing thing called ecclesia. He's called, if you're a believer in him today, he's called you out from that sinful shamefulness into a place of light, forgiveness, and hope. And he wants you to be part of this thing. And it doesn't even matter if you come to Oasis. We're just one light. And by the way, in Oasis, I love this. I didn't even name the church. We had like a little core group, start with 4 or 5 people. And one of the girls there who, we were looking for a name. And she says, how about Oasis? And I said, Oasis? I don't like that. I want something cool, like Rock or something. You know, and later, who would have known that I didn't even name the Rock. We have a church called Rock over at Rutgers. I didn't name that either. But an oasis is a watering hole. It's a place in a desert where you could find water and refuge. And we are that church. We are that people. We are those people who believe. So we want to bring people to the Oasis whose name is Jesus Christ. We want to bring people to the Oasis where they can find hope from living in a parched land called the world. Because the power of God is here. Because the Holy Spirit is here. And we believe that. So my point to you is this in closing. This is just a couple. I could go on. I have like 10,000 reasons I love the church. I have some. Look at those testimonies you heard. I mean, lives change. It's amazing. But I would be amiss if there's anyone in this room today that's here, that your life's falling apart, and God's, just like I said in the beginning, the whole theme of the Bible is this wonderful tapestry of God the Father seeking his lost creation, calling them out. And if you're that person, God's calling you, and you're like, oh, no, Lord, I want to go in this direction. No, Lord, I want you to know today is your day of salvation. I want you to know that anyone, we just talked about it, Jesus will go to the ends of hell to reach you. Don't think that you're lost with Jesus. If you repent of your sins, if you ask him to forgive you, if you get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm nothing without you, Lord. I can't do it on myself. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. We all come this way. We all need Jesus. And just in your heart, confess him as your Lord and Savior and ask him, Lord, make me your child. I want to be part of your ecclesia. I want to have this intimacy that I see other people have in you. He said, I love saying this, whoever walks to Jesus makes it. Everyone who comes to Jesus makes it. Because Jesus says, if you come to me, I will never, ever drive you away. So the process is accepting that you're a sinner. The process is believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day. And then just taking them in your heart. It says in John 1, 2, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus, that means trust in him with your life, your soul, your money, you just trust in him for what he did. He says he has given you an authority. He's given you the right to be called a child of God. And that's it, guys. That's what it's all about. And that's an amazing thing. So if you do those things and then confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Jesus healed me. Jesus is coming back soon. What a crazy thing to be ashamed of Jesus. What a crazy thing. So if you're that person, I want all of our heads bowed. If you're that person, we're not going to call you up here. That's not going to do anything. We want you from your heart to seek Jesus with all your heart because he loves you. I'll never forget the day that he took me on that day, just 2 days from now, 30-something years ago. What an amazing change. Father God, our eyes are bowed. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for calling us out, that we are your ecclesia. We thank you so much for your love. Lord, we thank you that you specialize in hopeless cases. You specialize, Lord, in places even the devil himself goes. Lord, you are the God, the big God of the universe. You control everything. And Father, I pray for that hurting person today, that sinful person today that doesn't know you but wants to know you. Lord, they came to the right place, to your ecclesia. And Father, I pray, if you're anyone right now, what I want you to do, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and we'll pray with you. We have Bible verses for you. We'll go over the gospel. We'll explain the gospel to you, the gospel, so you can understand. If there's anyone like that that wants to know more about Jesus, please just raise your hand now. Don't be embarrassed. Anyone that just says, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be part of your family. Is God talking to anyone today? And then for the rest of us, I want you to know, Father God, I pray for these guys. I pray that you would help your love become more real in their hearts. And I pray that we could grow together as a church family in love, to be real, not to put on a show, but that we may know you in a personal way, in a deeper way in 2017. That we may see miracles in 2017 through your power. I thank you for bringing all these folks here in this bad weather. And I pray for every single one, Lord, for this week, that you would give them peace, hope, and joy. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
David, welcome to Oasis. So glad to have you here. Part of the ecclesia is having you here today because you are part of that. You are part of God's hand in this community. And so we need your prayers, and we need your presence on a Sunday morning and during the week when we have groups that get together in people's homes. We need your presence to go out into the community and share God's word. We need your gifts and your talents, like up here or in the back or getting set up and tearing down. We need all of that. We also need your financial help so we can continue to do what God is asking us to do. So we're going to go right now into a time of offering, and we ask that you please give as generously as you can. We're going to ask that if you have a connection card today that you filled out, please feel free to go ahead and put that in the basket as it comes by you. And let's take a quick prayer for that. Lord God, we thank you for all the resources that you have given to us, our gifts, our talents, our finances, our presence, our time. Lord, we thank you for everything, and we ask that you would bless us truly as we continue to grow in this place and move on to our next location. We ask this all in Jesus' name.